Good morning, everybody. It's good to see many of you again. Hopefully, your Labor Day weekend is starting off well. today, we're going to be looking, we're starting a new sermon series today in the book of Jeremiah. So if you want to slowly get your Bibles out and turn to Jeremiah chapter 1, that's where we're going to be beginning. And we're going to have four parts to this sermon series. Jeremiah is like 52 chapters, but we're only going to cover four passages from Jeremiah. And we'll be looking at it as we begin, for many of us, the fall season. You know, that begins with Labor Day. Just a little bit of background information for you. The book of Jeremiah contains the words that God spoke to and through Jeremiah the prophet. And it's happening during a really kind of unstable, tumultuous time. Jeremiah, his ministry is going to last for like 40 years. And during that time, like, politics is crazy. The nations around him are at war. People are wrestling with what it means to serve the right God and to practice religion well. And in the midst of it all, you know, the people of God are trying to figure out, like, what does it look like to find stability and peace and security in the midst of all these things that are happening. And that's why we're focusing on the book of Jeremiah for this sermon series, because our situation in many ways isn't that different. You know, this year is an election year. I feel like every year the political game increases, right? It's more dramatic, more explosive than it feels like in every cycle. We're still in a situation where nations around the world are at war. And still, people are trying to figure out, what does it mean for us to find peace and stability? What does it look like to practice religion or follow God well? And so that's some of the reasons we're focusing on the book of Jeremiah for these next couple of weeks. And I think even more personally, I think many of us have this sense of instability and uncertainty in our lives. Our sermon series is called Reminders for the Restless, because I think for many of us, maybe not all, but for many of us, I think the word restless might describe a little bit of where we are. For some of us, we feel that tension between righteous and ratchet on a daily level, and there's this restlessness that comes, because some days you want to like live and follow the Lord well, and some days you don't, and then there's this constant tension that leaves us feeling a little bit restless, right? There's the temptations that are there, the worries and doubts that get to us that leave us feeling a little bit unstable. For others of us, it's maybe not just that, but the idea of our jobs or significant relationships, our future, the uncertainty around it, I think for many of us, again, it can feel us a little bit restless, leaving us restless. Like, what are we really doing? And I think for many of us, even as we're like running on that, what it feels like as a hamster wheel of life, we're trying to figure out what we're supposed to do. And I think for many of us, there's this kind of restlessness that's there, whether we like to admit it or not. And that's where the book of Jeremiah comes in, because the book contains so many reminders that God is giving and speaking to his people. There's words of warning and of rebuke that God speaks, and there's also words of encouragement and hope. And these passages, I think, will help us navigate these kind of uncertain seasons that we might find ourselves in, because it both confronts us when we're feeling a little rebellious, but it also encourages us as we seek to rely on the Lord. And so for the first part today, we're going to be looking at the beginning of the book, and we're going to be asking ourselves the question, where are we looking? What are we looking at? To whom do we look to as we try to navigate life? What are we focusing on as we try to live out our calling? And so that's what we're going to look at as we look at Jeremiah chapter 1. We're going to be looking at these first 10 verses. So please follow along with me in verse 1 to 10 in Jeremiah chapter 1. This is what it says. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It also came in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, and until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the captivity of Jerusalem in the fifth month. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. And then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. And the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. I have set you this day over nations and kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. It's the word of the Lord. Please join me as I pray for us in our time in God's word together. Lord, we come to you today, and we thank you for your kindness and your consistency. Lord, that you allow us to gather, to worship you, that you speak to us. And Lord, even as we're here, we pray that you would expose our hearts. God, that in this safe place of your grace, you would expose us, and yet at the same time, you would challenge and confront us so that we might turn our hearts to you and find greater life that is in you. We pray that you would use your words, impart them unto our heart, and help us, God, to live according to your commands and your word for our good. We thank you for this time. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The one thing for us as we look at this passage, the one thing that I want to encourage us with that this passage really delivers to us is look to the Maker, not the mirror, to live out your calling. That's the focus of this passage. Look to the Maker, not the mirror, to live out your calling. And the first thing we see in these first six verses is that we are all prone to look at the mirror. We're all prone to look at the mirror. Trust me, this is coming from a personal place. Many of you know I got surgery. I've been checking myself out in the mirror all the time to see how the swelling is going down, what my face looks like. But I think for many of us, when it comes to living our lives, and even trying to follow the Lord, we're prone to look at the mirror. Here in these first couple of verses, we get some background information about Jeremiah. There's three things that are going to be helpful for us to note. The first is that Jeremiah is the son of a priest. Okay, Jeremiah is the son of Hilkiah, who's a priest, which means that most likely not only was his father a priest, his father's father was a priest. He's probably from the line of Levi, right? He has that legacy, and that means that from a young age, he would have learned the Hebrew scriptures. Now, we can't really say he would have learned all of the Old Testament because the Old Testament is still being written, right, as he's living. But he would have been familiar with the first five books of the Old Testament for sure, right, from Genesis through Deuteronomy. He would have known the stories about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, about Joseph and Moses. He would have known about the law that God gave and how God saved the people out of Israel. He would have heard the stories about King David and King Solomon and some of the other kings who had come after them. And so he would have grown up with a knowledge about who Yahweh, the God of Israel, was. And so that's what he would have known as the son of the priest. The second thing we see is that he was from this place called Anathoth. It's not mentioned often in Scripture. It's kind of like a suburb of Jerusalem. And it was close enough to Jerusalem that he would have known about the temple and the kind of daily life that would have occurred there, what would go on in the big city. But it was far away enough that he was probably a little bit more of a country boy, right? That he, even though he knew about what happened in Jerusalem, his life would have been a little bit different. It's kind of like if you grew up in Port Huron, right? Like, you're close enough, you know about Detroit and what goes on in Detroit, but your life is probably pretty different from people who are actually living in Detroit. That's kind of what his life would have been like. He would have had that kind of perspective. And then lastly, we see here, it gives us the information that Jeremiah's ministry was from King Josiah's time, who was the last good king of Judah, all the way to King Zedekiah's time, who's one of the last kings of Judah, period, as they get taken into exile. And so we know that it was about 40 years that Jeremiah was a prophet. And during that time, it goes from good times under King Josiah, when there's a lot of reform that's happening, people are trying to follow the Lord again, to a lot of times in the middle where people are turning away from God, ultimately to a time where they go into exile under King Zedekiah. So there's a lot of different things happening in his ministry. And in verse 4 to 5, we see the beginning of the heart of this passage, which is that God reveals his calling, his specific calling for Jeremiah. And here there's two emphases that we see, right? God says that before Jeremiah was even born, before he was even formed in the womb, that God had plans for him, that he had set him apart, that he had consecrated him to be a prophet. Not just to Judah, but to the nations as well. And the emphasis is that, you know, God formed him. God knew him. God set him apart. And so there's this amazing news. God shows up to Jeremiah and says, hey, I have these plans for you. And I've had these plans for a long time, before you even existed, right? Before we say something like, before you were even a thought in your daddy's mind, God had this plan for Jeremiah, right? But what we see is that Jeremiah, how does he respond as he hears this wonderful news, as God reveals his specific calling for Jeremiah? Jeremiah responds by looking in the mirror, right? Symbolically, figuratively, this is what happens. He says, ah, Lord God, behold, I don't know how to speak, for I am only a youth. He says, God, I'm not trained in the ways of speaking the way you might need a prophet to speak. And I'm young. I don't have much experience. I don't have any credibility to my name. Most scholars believe Jeremiah, at this point, he really was young. He was probably in his late teens, maybe in his 20s. For some of us, that's a long time ago, right? That's a young man, right? And so his concerns are not completely unfounded, right? He's not being completely ridiculous. He has some good points here, right? If he's going to be a prophet, he should know how to speak. He says he doesn't know how to do that. If he's a prophet, he should have some credibility, some experience to back up his words, but he doesn't have that. And so he brings up these experiences, he brings up these things, and he's looking at himself. He's focusing on himself as he hears this calling that God has given him. And what's interesting is that if there was anyone who should have responded to this calling by being like, wow, God, what a great calling. I'm honored to be chosen by you. Let's do this. It should have been Jeremiah. Like I said, he knew. This is a man who came from a generation of priests. He knew what the scriptures had to say. He knew the stories about Moses, how God could use an older man in his 80s to lead a people out of Israel. He would have known all the stories of the miracles that God had did at the time. He would have known all of these things. Right? And like, listen to what he says. Isn't it interesting? He says, oh, Lord God. He's like, Yahweh Elohim, the God that I heard about, learned about, studied about, the God of my forefathers, who could do all of these things. You have these great plans for me. You yourself right now are revealing yourself to me, telling me that you formed me, shaped me, set me apart, appointed me. You got plans for me. And what is his response? Ooh, but when I look in the mirror, I don't see that. I don't feel that, right? He should have been the person who says, wow, here I am receiving revelation from the Lord. Here I am. The God that I studied about and learned about has finally shown up to me in person. But even Jeremiah in that moment looks to himself. And I think this is the tendency that all of us have, right? As God reveals himself to us, instead of looking to him, instead of being like, wow, this is the God I've heard about and learned about, I think it's easy for us to look at ourselves. And I think in this moment, we're confronted, because some of us too, I think it's easy, when you think about God, it's easy to tell other people about how good God is, right? Like, oh yeah, God's going to provide for you. I know he will, right? Oh yeah, or God has your back in a situation. Or we can trust that God is going to provide in these different ways for other people. But for Jeremiah, it became real, and it became personal. Right? When it came down to his actual life, he's uncertain and he's looking in the mirror. I think for many of us, as we think about our calling, I think we find ourselves in a similar place. Now, I do want to take a moment just to take a sidestep to talk about calling for a moment, because I don't know exactly what you think about when we think about calling. When you look at the Bible, I think many of us tend to think about calling only in the sense of like specific calling, right? Like in cases like this, where like special people get called for a special purpose. And that happens a lot, right? I think it, to be fair, that happens a lot. God specifically calls Abraham. God specifically calls Moses. And in this case, Jeremiah or people like Paul, right? And God reveals that he has a specific intention for them, right? And kind of what's surprising is not that he has a plan for them, but that he reveals it to them, right? Because all of the other people of God also, there's a call on their lives, right? Actually, the majority of the people, if you think about it, you know, this is when sometimes my math side kicks in, right? There's millions of people who are the people of God throughout the book, throughout the Bible, right? Hundreds of thousands come out of Egypt, right? There's millions of people in the kingdom of Israel. And yet we only get once in a while, we get these stories about God revealing his specific calling for people, right? For everybody else, there's a general call that God has for them on their life as just people of God. That's what happens when he brings his people out of Egypt. Remember, sure, he gives a specific call to Moses, but at Mount Sinai, he reveals his general calling for all of them. He says, "You are my treasured possession. You're going to be a kingdom of priests, my holy nation." That is the general call that God has for all of his people. You are to be a people who are holy and set apart like I am holy. And we see that idea repeated in the New Testament, that for all of God's people, there is still a general sense of calling that we have over our lives to be people who are set apart. Listen to what Paul writes in Romans, and I hope you see the parallels here between what Paul writes about and what God says to Jeremiah. Paul says, "For those whom he, God, foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified." This means that for all of us, right? For all of us, God knew us like he knew Jeremiah before he was formed and born, right? For all of us, God chose us. That's what it says in Ephesians. God chose us. He predestined us. He appointed us the way that God appointed Jeremiah, right? And God does this work to bring them into his family, to glorify them as his people. But there is a difference, right? Some of us, like the Jeremiahs and the Moseses of this world, God reveals his specific calling for them. And for others of us, God might not reveal exactly his purposes for you, right? It doesn't mean he doesn't have purposes for you, but that in God's great wisdom, he's like, "Yo, I gave you my word. You know what you're supposed to be doing as my people. This is the general, quote unquote, job description you have as my people, and that is good enough. I need you to trust me and obey me and follow me in those things." And for some reason, in my goodness, in my wisdom, I'm not going to give you the specific details like I gave Jeremiah, like I gave Moses or Paul or these other people. Right? And in a sense, it's an act of faith for us to be able to say, okay, I'm going to not just look to myself, even as I think of the general calling God has given me as his son or as his daughter. And just to be clear, the Bible gives us some details about what that general calling looks like to be people who are the people of God. Just a snapshot of things here in the New Testament, right? All of us who are Christian, we're called to belong to God. We're called to be saints. We're called to be in fellowship with Jesus. We're called to be holy. We're called to God's glory. We're called to be children of God, right? For all of us, you can take this to the bank. Although I don't know, for some of us young people, you probably haven't been to a physical bank in a while, but you can take it. It is trustworthy. This is what God has called you to be as a son or daughter of Christ. He's called you to be holy. He's called you to be like him. He's called you to be in fellowship with him. He's called you to be in the body. He's called you to be righteous. He's called you to do all of these things. And even if God doesn't give you a specific role like Moses, you know these things are applicable to your life as who you are to be as a Christ follower. And I want to give that to you as an encouragement. Like I said, many of us feel restless because we're like, I don't know what job God wants me to have. I don't know what city God wants me to live in. I don't know who God wants me to marry. But you know what? God's like, I've revealed to you these things. These things are things you can focus on right now, in the here and now, in your daily life. Are you living in a way that's holy and set apart to the Lord? In your daily life, are you living to the glory of God? In your daily life, do you know the comfort and joy and love of being a child of God? These are all specific things that God has for you in his general calling as a Christ follower. And so that's the side note, because I know that calling is kind of can feel really big and ambiguous. But all of us have these ways that God has called us. And here, the question is, what do we look at as we try to live out this calling? Now, again, for some of us, maybe you do have a sense of specific things that God has called you to. Maybe there's a career or a burden, a people that God has given you. You know that God wants you to work among maybe like in our context, right? People, marginalized families. Maybe you know God has placed a burden in your heart to work with youth from your ethnic background or from elderly people. Or maybe you know that God has put a burden on your heart for international missions. Maybe you have a specific sense of your calling. And in the midst of that, the question is, do you look in the mirror? Do you look to yourself as you think about that calling? And I think this happens in a number of ways, right? For some of us, we just feel overwhelmed. We're thinking about the God calling that God has placed on our life, and we're like, how could we do that, God? I don't have the characteristics needed for that. I don't have the experience needed for that kind of role. I don't have the energy or the money or the time for those kind of things. And it's easy for us to just look in the mirror and our limitations as we think about the calling that God has given us. To be honest, this is part of my story, right? When people ask me all the time, right? For years when I was younger, people would ask me, do you feel like God has called you to be a pastor? My answer was like, I just don't think I would be a good pastor. That was my answer for more than 5 years. I don't think I would be a good pastor. And one day I realized like, oh, I'm not actually answering the question of whether I think I'm called or not. I'm just saying, I don't think I'd be good at it. Right? I was a very self-centered, looking at the mirror kind of response. And then once I realized that, I was like, oh, the actual question of do I feel called to play this role as a pastor, that was an easy one. The answer is, yeah, I think God is doing that. My real issue was that I was focusing on myself, right? And so some of us, I think we might find ourselves there. We're just overwhelmed by the calling that God has placed on us. We feel like we're not blank enough. Right? We're not strong enough, smart enough, we're not wise enough, we're not kind enough, we're not patient enough, whatever it might be. But for others of us, even with the general sense of calling as a Christian, I think some of us are tripped up in looking at ourselves, right? At that list up here, some of us, I think if we're honest, we're like, yo, I could never do that. Like, I hear it all the time. Pastor Sam, I know I'm supposed to be patient, but that's just not me. Right, I know I'm supposed to be disciplined, but that's just not me, right? Or I know I'm supposed to be like sexually pure in my thoughts, in my affections, but I'm not Jesus, Pastor Sam. How am I going to do that? Those are the excuses we come up with. Why? Because even in these general things, we look at ourselves. We're like, man, there's no way I could do that. There's no way I could be that forgiving. You know who's forgiving and patient? Pastor Pete. Pastor Pete is good at that, Pastor. But I can't do that, right? Those are the kind of excuses we make to ourselves. Why? Because even in these things, we find ourselves just looking in the mirror and saying, oh, I don't think I have the capacity to do that. We're falling into the same trap that Jeremiah is doing here. And it's kind of like, I was thinking about it, it's kind of like if Gordon Ramsay showed up at your house and he's like, Jimmy, I'm going to turn you into an excellent home cook. And you're like, but Gordon Ramsay, I burn salad. I can't do that, right? And it's like, instead of being shocked that Gordon Ramsay would humble himself and walk himself to your house and be willing to help you become a good cook, you're focused on yourself, right? And this is what's happening to many of us, I think, as we think about our lives. And so this first point, I know it's a little long, but I think the challenge for us is to recognize and own up to these moments when we're looking in the mirror and looking at our shortcomings, looking at our worries, looking at our fears, instead of looking to God when He reveals Himself to us. And as we think about living our lives and our calling. And that brings us to the second part of the passage. The second part of the passage, we see that God directs us to look at the Maker. God directs us to look at the Maker. He takes the focus off of ourselves, right? In verse 7, He says, don't say, I'm only a youth. Don't say these things. That's not the focus, right? He's saying, don't worry about you not being able to speak or you not having experience, because I'm going to be with you. And here's a, it's a little directly, right? In a direct way, He takes the focus off of Jeremiah's shortcomings. But I think what's helpful for us too is that in an indirect way, He takes the focus off of Jeremiah's strength, right? Because His response, notice His response. His response is not, Jeremiah, don't say you're young. I'm going to help you grow up and give you experience. He doesn't say, Jeremiah, don't focus that you can't speak. I'm going to send you to school and then grad school so you can get better at speaking. That's not His answer, right? His answer is not, hey, you have shortcomings and I'm going to give you strengths. And so then you can depend on your strengths for your calling. That's not His answer. His answer is, no. Look to Me, right? Whether you're thinking about your strengths, whether you're thinking about your shortcomings, you're focusing on the wrong thing. I don't want you to focus on yourself at all. I want you to focus on the fact and the reality that I'm going to be with you, that I'm going to make it happen, right? He takes the focus off of Jeremiah, and He wants us to look to the Maker instead. And He says, I'm going to be the one. I'm going to put My words in your mouth, and I'm going to be with you. And that's what's going to give you the ability and credibility to live out your calling, right? My provision, My presence, that's what's going to give you the ability to live out your calling. And He says He's going to be the one to deliver Jeremiah in the midst of all the challenges he's going to face. And I think that's important to hear and recognize, right? It's in an indirect way, God is telling Jeremiah, your calling is not going to be easy. You're going to face situations where you're going to need deliverance, and I'm going to be there to do that. And if you look at Jeremiah's ministry, it is like that. There's literally times when people throw him in the pit to kill him, right? There's times that people are angry at him and going against him. And in those moments, God is the one who delivers him. And it's important to note, because some of us, I'm just going to be very straight up with you, you're going to face a lot of difficulties and challenges and even dangers as you try to live out God's calling for your life, right? God's calling for your life does not mean it's going to be easy. Right, Jeremiah's life is a very real example of that. God's calling for your life doesn't even mean you're going to be successful in many ways. You know, it's a very sobering part of the book of Jeremiah. Do you know how many people respond positively to Jeremiah's 40 years of ministry? Two people. One of them eventually becomes ends up becoming his servant, and the other is an Ethiopian eunuch who's presumably visiting the king of Judah at the time. Two people out of 40 years of ministry. That's the only record we have of people who responded favorably to Jeremiah and the message that God gave. And yet, God's saying, I'm going to be with you in the midst of that. You're going to be successful in the sense that you obeyed Me. You're going to have accomplished My purposes for you. And I'm going to deliver you from the dangers that are there. And I want you to think about that, because you're going to face some difficulties in your life, even as you are obedient and you pursue God's calling for your life. Right? Even as you try to obey Him and follow Him, there are going to be moments that it's hard. And God wants to remind you, look to Me in the midst of that. Look to the Maker, the one who created all the universe. Right? All of those other challenges and obstacles become small as you look at God. And that's the example we have throughout the Bible, right? I gave you examples of Jeremiah, but think about Paul and the challenges he faces in his ministry, or Isaiah, or all of these other people. Jesus Himself, right, that faces persecution and difficulty as he obeys God's calling. Think about the persecuted Christians all around the world. just as they faithfully live out God's calling for their lives. Think about the Christians in North Korea. Think about the Christians in Nigeria. Think about the Christians in, around the world, in the Middle East. They're facing danger and difficulty and persecution just as they try to be holy and follow faithfully after the Lord. In the midst of that, God gives them a promise to say, I'm going to deliver you. There are times I'm going to deliver you from the immediate dangers and difficulties you face. I'm going to provide for you in the midst of the immediate needs you have. But ultimately, I'm going to provide for you through my Son, Jesus Christ. Ultimately, you're going to have access to eternal life with me. I'm going to deliver you to safety ultimately with me. That's what God provides and promises as we look to him. And for us, we can be even more encouraged than Jeremiah. Right? Because Jeremiah just got a touch of God's word in his life. For us, we have the word of God himself, the living word, Jesus Christ, in our lives. Right? For Jeremiah, he got the presence of God, but we have the Holy Spirit in us in the midst of all of life's challenges and difficulties. And so this is the conundrum and the dilemma, you know, the choice that we're presented with today. It's like, will we be people who are constantly looking in the mirror, constantly navel-gazing, looking at our own selves as we think about following God and God's calling for our lives? Or are we going to be people who take our gaze and turn our gaze from ourselves to Jesus? Right? That's the question. And God's reminding us today, and this is important too, that much of our restlessness comes not only because we find it difficult to follow God's calling for our lives, but some of your restlessness comes because you don't even trust that God's calling for your life is what's actually good for your life. I think that's the reality for many of us, right? We'd rather find and define our own calling and our own purpose. And some of that restlessness comes because we are depending on ourselves for the direction and purpose in our lives. While all the while, underneath the surface, we know we don't even trust ourselves to make a decision that big. And it's actually only God's calling for our lives that can give us the kind of stability and security that we seek, even if it is difficult and beyond our abilities. And so God's inviting us today, God's inviting you today to take a step of faith. And for some of us, that means trusting that his calling and his purpose for our lives is better than the one we have. For others of us, it's saying, God, I know my calling a little bit, but it's been really hard because I've been so focused on my shortcomings and my inability. And for others of us, it's to say, God, it's been so hard because I don't know specifically what you want me to do, and I want the game plan. And the act of faith is to say, God, I'm going to trust you that even if you don't reveal the whole game plan to me, that as I focus on these general characteristics of what it means to be the people of God, that that's going to bring the peace and strength and hope that I need because it's rooted and anchored in you. And I know many of us have been let down as we depend upon other people, but God is encouraging us to say, God is not like that. God is not like the people who let you down. Right? God is not like the people who you tried to look to and who failed you. But God is saying, look to me. I am the maker. I'm the maker of heaven and earth. I'm the one who knows you better than you know yourself. Right? Some of us, if we're blessed, we have people in our lives who know us better than we know ourselves. Right? You might have a friend or a family member who knows sometimes what you do and what you need before you even realize it. And God is like, I am that person before you were even born. Before you were babbling like Caleb does sometimes. Like, I knew you and I had a purpose for you. Trust me. Look to me. And how foolish would it be? This past week, I don't know if you know, but our family took a trip to the northern part of Michigan. Right, to Petoskey, and we went to Mackinac Island and stuff. And it was a great time, you know. But in order to go to up there, we had to get there, right, from Detroit all the way to Petoskey. How foolish would it be if I told Caleb, we have plans this week. My plan for you is that we're going to go from Detroit to Petoskey. How foolish would it be if Caleb was like, all right, Dad, but I don't know how to drive. I don't have a driver's license. How am I going to get there? Right? How foolish would it be if Caleb was like, God, or if Caleb was like, Dad, I'm going to trust in my own abilities to get me from Detroit to Petoskey. That would be foolish. Why would you do all that? All Caleb has to do is like, okay, Dad, that's your plan. I'm going to trust that you're going to get me there, right? You're the one with the car. You're the one with the plan. Mom can drive too, right? But sometimes that's what we're like. God tells us, I have this purpose for your life. And instead of being like, God, all right, that's your purpose. You're going to provide. You're going to make it happen. We look to ourselves and start making excuses. And so that's a challenge for us today. Can we look to God? You're the one with the plan. I'm going to trust you. And family, this is a whole nother sermon. But family, trusting God doesn't mean you have to be passive. Trusting God doesn't mean, okay, I'm just going to sit here like a starfish and wait for you to pick me up and physically bring me to the place and people you want. That's not what it's saying here, right? But it's saying as you take these steps, as you actually walk in obedience, who are you depending on, right? We can do all of these things depending on ourselves, or we can do these things actually depending on the Lord. And that's what it's getting at, is even as you do these things, who are you actually looking to and who are you actually depending on? That's a challenge for us today. And so to live out our calling, we have to look not to the mirror, but to the Maker. And that's the only way, that's actually the only way we can live out the calling that God has for us, the true calling for our lives. And this is the pattern, y'all. You should get used to it. This is the pattern of what it looks like to live as a Christ follower, is that we look to God instead of looking to ourselves. This is how we become God's family in the first place, right? And we say, okay, actually, I've been depending on myself for a long time, God, and I realize it's not working out. And I'm looking to you, I'm looking to Jesus Christ and what he did in order for me to be able to do this. That's why it says in Colossians, you know, Jesus is the Maker, right? All things were created through him and for him. All of these things, I'm going to look to that Maker. I'm going to look to Jesus, and he's the one who not only brings me to salvation through his death on the cross, but he's the one who also helps me to live out the calling God has for me, because he's with me and he's going to empower me to do those things. That's why the one thing for today was look to the Maker, not the mirror, to live out your calling. Please join me as I pray for us as we close this time in the Word. Father, we come to you today, and Lord, we're in many different